All right, we be live. Hello, everybody. Hi, Rivka and Elliot.
Hello.
Hey.
I have a couple of very interesting videos sent to me by Rivka. Thank you so much, Rivka, for finding these videos. And to be honest, I was even surprised by some of these videos, even though I follow a lot of this news. Some of these are very, very interesting, and it gives you a completely different picture of Israel than a lot of people are trying to portray right now on social media, especially on Instagram and TikTok, where the younger generation hangs out. So it's good that we saw some other pushback. These are mostly on Instagram. And I wanted to share these with you guys and get Elliot and Rivka to comment on them. But here's the thing. These are not just anecdotal. At the end of the stream, I will show you some reports that shows that this is not just anecdotal evidence. This does actually represent a much wider thing that is happening right now in Israel, right? So, by the way, I might have some connection issues at some time, but if that happens, people in the live chat, don't worry. It will just be a few seconds and I'll be right back. So be patient with that. But I want to just get right into it. Before I get right into it, I need everybody right now that is watching to like the stream. Again, these are right now, social media is filled with lies and more lies about Israel. There's a huge, heavy push for anti-Jewish hatred and anti-Israeli hatred, and it's very dangerous. And we need to push back against that. And this is dangerous not just for Israel, and for reasons I explained in previous streams. This is right now extremely dangerous for the world and for the order, the world order that we're all benefiting from. So I need you guys to like the stream. I need you guys to support this channel by just simply liking the streams that you watch. And if you want to do more, you could recommend this channel to other people. You could leave a comment after the stream is over. You could leave a comment. All of that helps very significantly. So please do that. It doesn't cost you anything. So I'm going to start playing these videos. We're going to go from the beginning to end before we comment on it. I would have to read the subtitles because almost none of the videos today is in English. So bear with me while I read to it. So what you're watching on screen is a couple of soldiers. Rivka, do you want to provide a... No, actually, let me just read it and then you guys could comment, right? So at the top of the video, it says, a message from Arabs in the IDF. Ignore the lies. We are a united nation. So let me read that again. Sorry, today I have a cold a bit, so my voice has changed. A message from Arabs in the IDF. Ignore the lies. We are a united nation. So let's see what they say. So it starts by them saying, a time... Let me actually play it. So she's saying, she's one of the Arab IDF soldiers, saying, At a time when there are so many lies and the truth is ignored, let it be known that... The people of Israel are united. The people of Israel are one. Israel is made up of Muslims, Christians, Druze, and Jews. Even though we are Arabs, even though we Arabs are a minority... In the state of Israel, we represent our state in all its institutions, the Arabs and Jews. The Arabs and Jews. The Arabs and Jews are partners in building the state and protecting it from the hands of terrorism and the enemy. From the Golan and even the Eilat. Is that correct, Rivka? Am I reading this right? Okay.
Yes. From the Golan and Eilat.
Oh, the Golan Heights. Okay, this is the Golan Heights. From the Golan Heights and even the Eilat. From the north to the south, we are all soldiers in order to protect our homeland, Israel. We all know that no country offers us No country offers us safety, dignity, and humanity like Israel. Israel is a country of freedom and peace, a country of safety.
كرامة والإنسانية كإسرائيل. إسرائيل بلد الحرية والسلام، بلد الأمان، بلد.
A country of coexistence between the sons of Abraham, Muslims, Jews, Christians, and Druze.
تعايش المشترك بين أبناء إبراهيم مسلمين ويهود مسيحيين ودروز.
We all know one God and we all believe that communication and peace is
نعبد الله واحد وكلنا نؤمن ان التواصل والسلام هو جسر نحو
a bridge towards progress and human progress that brings prosperity and light
والرقي الانساني اللي بيجلب لنا الازدهار والنور
and builds a better future despite what you hear.
مستقبل أفضل. وبدل ما تسمع لتحليلات الدواري.
Instead of listening to the lies of what is it, Captain Al-Duari.
Listen to Captain Ella.
اسمعوا لحقائق الكابتن إيلا.
Okay, so. The only part that I didn't like is that it ignored atheists.
Yeah, they left us out.
They left us out, as they often do. And Israel is filled with atheists. And Arabs are not necessarily Muslims. And ethnically Jewish people are not necessarily believers of the Jewish faith. And Arabs and Jews are a lot more than the sons of Abraham. In fact, I don't think there was an Abraham, right? I think it's just a made-up story. But beyond all the disagreements that I have with her message, it does, you know, Arab IDF soldiers talking about being proud of their country, fighting for their country, defending their country. What does that tell you guys? What do you guys think? Do you want to go on, Elliot?
Well, I think one thing, and we see this, like, for instance, we had somebody even before the live stream started that was shouting some things out there thinking that it was in their favor, but in reality, as one of our other lovely viewers pointed out, this is kind of exposing that Arabs in Israel have a better life than they do in all these other countries that are Arab majorities. It kind of seems like, maybe I'm wrong here, but it kind of seems like they're saying things like, this is a land for people of all these different faiths, right? They're saying something that I don't think I would ever hear from Hamas or very many Palestinians. It just seems like they're doing things better. Am I too big of a swing? I don't know.
So, she says it, you know, it's the only country that offers them the dignity and the security and the inclusion and the equality. And, you know, this is a question I always pose to people when they bring up anti-Israel, propaganda or whatever. I say, well, you know, tell me another country in the Middle East where, you know, that is safer. You know, the vast for religious minorities, you know, it's Israel for gays. It's Israel for atheists. It's Israel. There's no other country in the Middle East that offers the protection under the law and also the societal acceptance. Granted, you know, every country has problems. Yes, there's racism. Yes, there's bigotry, but that's everywhere. You know, there's no other country. And she specifically says that. And I also want to point out, she's not just Arab in Israel, but she's a female commander in the IDF. And she is an Arab Israeli, you know. So not only is she fighting for her country, but she's offered the opportunity to be in charge, not just in the army, but she is a commander in the army. So, you know, I want to see the Arab countries that offer women, you know, the Middle Eastern countries that offer women these same opportunities that they have in Israel, you know, and I really appreciate that she's bringing everybody into it. And I don't know if she's Druze or not, but because I can't see if she's got the Druze flag on her uniform, because they often do. But I wanted to bring something up about Druze. So before independence, they weren't even considered a religious community. They weren't recognized. After Israeli independence, they were. And the Druze are extremely patriotic. And there's a valley, a village, and I wish I could remember the name of it. And I'm trying to Google it, but my internet's acting weird. That is called the Valley of Commanders, because so many people that come from Druze, that come from this area, this village, end up being commanders in the IDF. They are really very much, you know, pro Israel in terms of defending it, supporting it, and they're not shy to talk about it either.
She is a Muslim. I just checked. She is Muslim. Arab Muslim female. Yeah. That's the I just found so the article.
I just want to add something. It's true that Israel is better for LGBT than every other Islamic or Arab country. It's true that Israel is better for women than every other Arab or Islamic country. However, even if you are an Arab man, a Muslim Arab man, okay, you are still better off as an Israeli citizen than any other Arab or Muslim country, right? So you don't even have to be LGBT. So even for the best demographic in Arab or Muslim countries, you will still have more rights and more freedoms as an Arab in Israel than an Arab in an Arabic country. So Israel is better. There's no country to be an Arab in than Israel, unless you're very, very rich. So people are like, what are you talking about, Armin? You know, in Saudi Arabia, people are living like royalty, or in Qatar. Like, yeah, that's like not everybody. And I'm also talking about rights and freedoms. I'm not talking about wealth. Rights and freedoms, I challenge you to find a better country than Israel for Arabs. And also, we just got demonetized. So
what?
If anybody wants,
for yeah, what?
I don't know why.
That doesn't even make sense.
Yeah, so it's gone. And it's gone. It's gone. So if you guys want to help us out with the super chats, please help us out with that. That would be
so
very much appreciated.
I know this isn't, it's not the most important part of it, but like I loved the, like, even right now in the picture, like they've got the coffee, you know, next to them, and they're like showing them kind of making it together. I, just because, you know, my world is all fairy tales and whatever, but I'm imagining that they're actually making hot chocolate and that they're about to put marshmallows in it. They just didn't do it on camera, you know? You can see that it's like these people genuinely like each other. They genuinely care about each other's well-being and stuff. And again, you can see this all throughout Israel. And it's so weird to me that when there's two sides and one side is just openly saying, hey, we like, you know, we want everybody. We want to try to make a world for everybody. And the other side is actively saying, we want to make a world without you in it. Like, why are you supporting the second group there, people? This is really easy. This is an easy choice, in my opinion, but apparently not for some. So,
and the Israeli Declaration of Independence says that we extend our hand, you know, to our neighbors, to all people. It talks about, you know, the equality amongst people. You know, it has that in their declaration. They could use a constitution, don't get me wrong, but those are some of those founding documents.
We need to move forward faster. We need to move way faster because we have more videos. But I just, especially because there's some comments I want to read. Okay, so Shoresh in the live chat is saying, nothing but traitors. So it's referring to these Arab Israelis who are proud of their countries as traitors, which is extremely racist. Imagine calling somebody a traitor because of their views and their ethnicity. This is absolutely racist. So you're using their race as a way to judge them. Also, Shoresh is saying, why should we care for privileged scumbags, talking about these Arab Israelis? I'm sure some Africans loved apartheid apartheid South Africa. And we have certain African American voices spouting CSA was so totally a paradise and Jim Crow era. Well, yeah. So here's an interesting thing in the Jim Crow era. So that's what they're saying. So they're saying there were token black people and there were token Africans and token other people that loved the apartheid or stuff like that. And then Shoresh also continues and says nothing but dung beetles who ignore the war crimes of plus 5 million displaced by Israel, more than 30,000 killed by IDF, 6,000 being children. All right, so first of all, regarding this previous point, I will get back to that. But this one, the reason why so many people got displaced, many Palestinians, Arabs got displaced, it wasn't done by Israel. They got displaced because Arab countries attacked Israel at the very first day of its foundation. That's why they got the place. It wasn't the place by Israel, it was displaced by Arab countries. And also all the innocent civilians that are dying in Gaza, that's because of Hamas. That's because Hamas uses them as human shield. That's the reason. And also regarding this other point that these are token Arabs, like basically calling them house N-words, and saying that they use just being used as examples of people trying to misrepresent what the reality is. That's actually completely wrong, as I will show you on screen right now. So you can see that what we're showing you are not just tokens. These are not just a few examples. This is actually representative of most Israeli Arabs. So this is an article by Reuters telling you that Israeli's Arab minority feels closer to country in war, poll finds. And this was after Hamas attack. This is like a recent, you can see this is November 2023, right? So this is what polls show. What we are showing you on the screen paints a picture, but it's not just anecdotal. And here's another article by the Economist saying, even as war rages in Gaza, Israel's Arabs are feeling more Israeli. Okay, this is partial, and it continues by saying this is partially because of their shared horrors of Hamas and the threat it poses. So you can see that the attack by Hamas on Israel, not only did not divide Israelis between Jews and Arab, actually made them closer together. They made them feel more Israeli, right? And also, let me see, here's another line that I found on Wikipedia, which was very interesting. It says, most Arab citizens of Israel are functionally bilingual, with their second language being Hebrew. Recently, there have been reports indicating that Israeli Arabs are increasingly feeling a sense of Israeli identity and are showing a desire for integration and shared future with mainstream Israeli society. So there's that. So you can see that Shoresh, your examples, your analogy were all false. These are not token Arabs. This is a representative of Arab Israelis.
I would feel embarrassed if I was saying things like that, you know. I would correct that immediately and stop saying that. And I hope everybody else will too, because here it is.
And I just want to point out that he's passively aggressively trying to say that there's apartheid in Israel in comparison to the apartheid in South Africa. And that is not the case. Arab Israelis are equal under the law. They are allowed to participate in all these professions. They can go to university. And the majority of Muslims don't have to serve in the army. You know, Muslims and Arabs, rather, or Christian Arabs too, don't have to serve in the army. Okay. And they choose to.
And can rise to the rank of a freaking captain,
commander,
even as
commander.
A female Arab Muslim. Wow. Again, let's see that. Let's see that in some of the other countries, and then we could talk.
All right. So now we have Israeli Sesame Street.
More coffee and hot chocolate. That's great. I love this theme.
Ilya just got excited. All right. So this is So this one is another video that Rivka sent me from Instagram. And it says, teaching important lessons on Rechav Tsumtsum, which is basically Israel's version of Sesame Street. So let's see what this is, about, okay? So it says, you like coffee and he likes hot chocolate. Yeah, literally about hot chocolate and coffee. Okay, so you like coffee and he likes hot chocolate. You speak Arabic and Hebrew and I don't know what that is.
Zaki,
the other guy, Zaki speaks only Hebrew. And some English. Okay. Yes, we're different in many ways. For example, I'm an Arab, the lady is saying, and Zaki is a Jew. But how can you be friends if you are so different? Because we are also similar in many ways. What is left for you to have in common? Okay, so the man is saying we are both people. We both live in the same country, Israel. In the same city. We both want peace. We both like Chinese food. We both like to laugh. And we both love you, Noah. And most of all, we both love having friends and helping each other. Okay, so this is very interesting and beautiful because it reminds me of what the children's content is for people, for children in Palestine. Go on, Elliot. Do you want to say something?
Well, I feel like some of our audience may not be familiar because what was just blasting through my head this whole time was just like, wow, this is how you do kids shows, right? I wonder what the Palestinian children are watching. And then I remembered there's this character, Farfour. Oh my gosh, there's this Mickey Mouse looking some bitch called Farfour that basically advocates for just murdering Jews. That's the children's shows. And if you think I'm making this up, you guys, it does not take that long for you to find this. That's the thing. It is so easy. If you just go look up Tomorrow's Pioneers or The Pioneers of Tomorrow, it is the TV show. There is quite a lot of information out there. It's not a freaking, like, it's right there. They're very clear about.
You just
have
to do your Googles and it'll
take 5 seconds. And just again, it is amazing to me the stark differences. You have this children's show in Israel. You have that children's show in Palestine. And somebody is going to come to me and go, you know, I don't know, man. I don't know. I think it's okay. I think they're doing fine. Come on, guys.
I was going to bring that exact show up, the Pioneers. You know, me to it. But I mean, in addition to that, there's songs that kids are taught about, you know, spilling the blood of Yehud and being martyrs. They put on plays where, you know, one person plays the stereotypical looking Jew and the other kids play like Hamas fighters. Mm-hmm. They have a summer camp for kids where they practice, sort of military techniques and they're fighting the Jews. I mean, you can look it up in the curriculum.
Uh-huh.
I mean, even in their word problems and things like that, they talk about this. So it's pervasive in the education system versus we can get along. We may be different, but we also have things in common. Let's be friends. You know, yeah, that's not happening. And then also, go ahead.
Yeah.
Should I show that? I don't know if I can.
You've already been demonetized.
I mean, sent you some videos. It also, you can show that, but I've also sent you some videos of a lot of that. But yeah, show it since you've looked it up. I mean, yeah, who cares?
I don't know. Okay. Okay. So YouTube, this is not our views. This is not what we endorse here on this channel. I don't know if we're going to. I hope this is not going to get us in trouble, okay? This is also on YouTube. So.
If you've been on a certain side of the internet, you've probably seen memes about this weird Mickey Mouse-esque character in some weird Middle Eastern show. Thing is, if you're trying to do any sort of research about this show, it will literally drag you into a whole different rabbit hole. In fact,
I'm just going to maybe do a different video on this because this is 14 minutes long. This is a mouse that just basically calls for genocide of Jewish Farfur. Yeah, that's what his name is. Mm-hmm. Basically, it's on cartoons, basically teaching people to just genocide, kill all the Jews and stuff. Mm-hmm. Again, not our views. I have to do. Yeah. Look at this. All right. Yeah, I'm not gonna play this. I have to do. Maybe we'll do an episode on comparing what Israeli children are being taught.
Oh, that would be great.
People, we'll do that. So I'm not going to do this right now. But anyways, but this video that we just watched also shows, you know, to me, it shows the general attitude of people in Israel, right?
Yes.
And the direction that they want the country to go. Like, this is, and I think it will eventually... I hope it works because I know that the ultra-Orthodox, you know, fascistic, racist people in Israel have more children than the secular ones. So I don't know if that's going to be able to overcome this good force that we have in Israel. So I'm worried about that, about the future of Israel. But people in Israel, like, let me, like, leave it in the comment section. What do you guys think? Like, right now, Israel, I think there's a lot of great people in Israel with great intentions that are not racist, but there's also this powerful force that is growing. Do you guys think that these racist people are going to overtake? Are they going to be more influential in politics and Israel's education system? Where do you see children in Israel? What direction do you think it's going to be heading? Like, let us know what people. I want to hear this from people in Israel in the comment section. But go on, Rivka has an opinion.
Yeah, so you're right about that. Religious people seem to have more children all over the world, but yes, definitely in Israel, they have a lot of religious people have kids, some of them, not all of them, but some of them are quite extreme. I would say extremist in their views, and. I definitely think that it's something the state of Israel has to get a handle on, because we can't, you know, have domestic terrorism within the state, or, you know, religious extremists just because they're Jews, you know, saying these things and trying to enact laws. And some of them are trying to, you know, particularly like Ben Gavir and others in the, you know, the party that Likud has made a coalition with. And I don't know as much about Israeli politics as obviously Israelis do, but yeah, it's a problem and it, you know, needs to be dealt with. But I think that hopefully they can pull back from the brink of that. And it shows you that the fact that Arabs and Israelis are really united, especially now. And hopefully that will affect people's views about, you know, their co-citizens. I'd like to hear from Israelis about that as well, because I think it's an issue that they definitely need to get a handle on.
This type of programming does work. And that's one of the biggest reasons why you do find so many of the far right, you know, ultra conservative, fascistic, whatever you want to label them as, you know, the people who are spreading hate around the world, not just anti-Jewish or anti-Israeli hate, right? But these types of messaging do work. When you teach children critical thinking and compassion for others, it will stick with them throughout their life. And it is harder for them to get out of that mindset, because when you're young, you know, what happens in the first few years of your life really maps onto the rest of how you see the world. And so this is why they hate this stuff. This is why people fight against this stuff, is because they know it makes their children better thinkers. It makes their children more compassionate. So
it also does something that it brings them all. They may be different, but they have one identity. They're Israeli or they're British or they're American. And that's what, you know, we have in common. And that's what we can, you know, even if that's the only thing, you know, there's many others. But it really does form a cohesion and helps people get along, because when you live in a multi-ethnic, pluralistic society, you need to have that cohesion. You need to have that cooperation. Yep. You know, you don't want kids separating into different groups or adults, you know, ghettoizing themselves. You need that cohesion under, you know, we're all people, we're all, you know, British, we're all, you know, we all belong to this country. We're all equal under the law. It creates cohesion within a pluralistic, open society.
Yep.
All right. We do need to move on. But before we do move on, I just want to really quickly read this comment by Nano. Nano is saying, I'm Arab and I stand with Israel. I live in an Arab country, though. And here they are against Jews and Israelis. Just saying I like Israel can... What? I like Israel can endanger my safety. Oh, yeah. Liking Israel. Saying liking Israel can endanger my safety. Okay. Well, be careful, Nano. Please keep your love for Israel private. Yeah. But, you know, yeah. But that's amazing that you think independently. That's great. And thank you for that comment. All right. Let me go to the next video. Let me go from the beginning.
I've been told that Arabs living in Israel live in an apartheid state. I've come to Jabalia, an Arab village inside of Israel, to ask them what they think. What is life like for an Arab living in Israel?
So I have to read the subtitle because these people are not speaking English. So see, he's asking, what is life like for an Arab living in Israel? So the first sentence is, we are all one. And this woman is saying, I go wherever I want. I do it happily, joyfully, with no interference. The citizens, the people are very nice to one another. So these are three different people answering. So we live in a country that gives us the best. These are all Arabs, by the way, Arab Israelis, and saying equal, this woman is saying equal rights, benefits, everything. And there's another guy saying, good people, good people. We have work, we have English. This woman is saying, I study, I work, I'm having fun, I'm traveling a lot. This man is saying there are always problems, like everywhere on the globe. If you look for trouble, you'll find it. Arabs have their own problems. Arabs sometimes kill each other over stupid reasons. Would you prefer to be a citizen of Palestine?
A citizen of Palestine or a citizen of Israel?
This man is saying, I prefer staying here. I was born here in Israel. Here I have everything. A home, a family. There you go. So more confirmation, more stories of people that we just referred. Do you want to...
Just real quick, because it's like, you know... When you get an opportunity, you know, when somebody really brings you something so easy to bat away, it's like, you gots to. So Shireesh again is saying, I'm sure there are Khomeini loyalists who say the same in Iran. You know, Armin, if somebody has leveled this accusation at this is anecdotal. What you're saying right here you just found a couple of random people. Is there anything that we could possibly look at that would provide us more certainty that these people are correct. I wonder if there's like, gosh, I don't know. Maybe like
tons of other videos like this, polling data.
There's yeah, like economic, well, like the livelihoods of these people, the freedoms that they have, literally on the books, like laws written that say that they have these. Gosh, man, it would be such a shame.
Basically what Elliot is saying is that what this idiot Shoresh in the live chat doesn't understand is that the examples that he gives are people that are giving you a narrative that doesn't reflect reality, right? Mm-hmm. So if there's a society that is treating an ethnicity badly, but then you go find a few good ones that you're treating them good and they speak and they defend the system, that those are the examples that he's giving. But what we are showing you are Arabs that are supporting Israel, but also facts and polling data that shows that these are not just tokens, these are not just anecdotes, and also facts and evidence that their lives are actually genuinely better. Like when it comes to the standard of living, when it comes to prosperity, when it comes to freedoms, when it comes to rights, they actually are better off than Arabs in any other Arab country. This is not a country that is mistreating Arabs and then finds a few tokens to say otherwise. So these narratives that they were showing you is backed up by data, unlike the other examples that you're giving us. Like if somebody is like turning black people into slaves and then has a few good ones that is whipping a whole bunch of them and making them giving them forced labor in like cotton fields, but then just has a few ones that is treating them good and then uses those as an example that look, I'm treating all these. Yeah, those few people, those do not represent the reality. But what we're showing you, I show you data that this does reflect reality. These are not just a few token Arabs that we're showing you. This actually is painting a picture of what is happening in Israel.
Also, Shoresh isn't saying there were. He's saying, I'm sure, or I'm guess. Mm. So it's not even that he heard about a few so token Khomeini, you know, fans who said he was great. No, he's saying he thinks this. He's assuming
literally this. Pulling it out of his ass.
Right. He's because he has a bias and he needs to confirm it. And so I just wanted to bring that out because, again, it's not even that he said, oh, I saw this report or these people went on. No, he's saying, I'm sure, or I assume, or I think.
And just a second ago in the live chat, when Armin
went
was
the ad hominem too, by the way.
Exactly. And see, this is again, this is what shows you the stark difference between these sides right now. Okay. You know? You've got this feller in our chat who, when Armin was just trying to explain, you know, the difference between tokenism that happens a lot and is gross and wrong and doesn't actually reflect reality versus what we're demonstrating here with Arabs in Israel, right? As Armin is explaining that, our good friend Shoresh here decided to call those Muslim Arab individuals, those Palestinians, they're traitors. Those people are traitors. That's the words that this person used. So I just, again, it's just like, these are the two sides. These are the two sides. And it's absolutely ridiculous to me.
And so I say he goes to the ad hominem because he told us, you know, to shut the F up, liberals. And he was using that as a pejorative.
Right, right.
Okay,
right.
He's insulting us. But no, it's not so are you not a liberal? You don't believe in freedom of speech. You don't believe in freedom from arbitrary authority. Yeah. You don't believe in individual rights.
Don't believe people should have equal rights. No, Rivka. No, I stand firm on that.
Right, so that's what liberalism is, small L liberalism. And I just want to quote the great Christopher Hitchens, who said, I consider it a victory when they move to the ad hominem. So we should consider this a victory. So we have a victory, Shoresh.
Yeah. It feels good. It feels good this early in the morning for me, you guys.
All right, let's do the next video. Let's do the next video. Oh, we get no wait, we got a super chat. Thank you so much, Eddie. Yes, thank you. 15 shekels. Guys, also we have been demonetized, so we do really appreciate the super chats. It really helps us out, given that it doesn't make sense for us to do these streams given the high number of demonetizations that we get. So thank you so much for the super chat. And also, if you can't do the super chat, please at least make sure you like the stream. Liking really helps the channel grow. So Addy's saying, don't forget to like the stream. Yeah, that's exactly
they're what using I just said. Super I love chat to tell other people to like the stream. Gosh, I love
that's
that.
Amazing. Ugh. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. All right. All right. So let's do the next video. Oh, is this English? Great. I don't have to translate.
We are in Tel Aviv
yep,
University.
English.
And look.
All right. Let me go from the beginning. Okay. So let's not say nothing from the beginning to the end. So this is, by the way, on the video, it says, welcome to the apartheid. Okay, so let's see what apartheid looks like in Israel.
We are in Tel Aviv University, and look, it's the apartheid. We're walking into the apartheid.
Oh, so what they're showing is basically in the university, everything, the signs are in English, in Hebrew, and in Arabic. By the way, I can confirm this. I was in Israel, and when I was in Israel, I saw... Everywhere I went, all the signs were in three languages. In Tel Aviv, all the signs were in English, Hebrew, and Arabic. So everything, there were Arabic signs. I didn't even know this. I thought when I go to Israel, everything would be in Hebrew, only in Hebrew. But every sign had an Arabic version of it as well.
Even on like the take the tram or something, the announcements about the stops and things like that, Hebrew, English, Arabic.
Yes, exactly. Okay.
We are in Tel Aviv University, and look, it's the apartheid. We're walking into the apartheid. It's the apartheid.
Okay, so this is, again, I have to pause really quickly. So it's showing in the library that there are Muslims and Jewish kids are studying next to each other.
It's the apartheid. It's the apartheid. I don't understand. Look, it's the apartheid. Perfect example of apartheid. Freedom of speech in Israel. And look, we don't take it down.
And if you don't understand, this means this is everyone's home, Jews and Arabs living together.
The keyboard of the apartheid. It's the apartheid. Yeah, look, it's the apartheid.
Where?
I love when she says the keyboard of the apartheid.
Oh my god. I love their attitude about it. I think humor is so powerful. I really do. And I just think like it really does such a good job sometimes of breaking down the ridiculousness of some of the things people say. And it's just like, oh my God, like, do you know what apartheid is? Because if you use that word, I really, really hope that it is not this easy to demonstrate that is not true. Like, I just, the cat sleeping, that one really got me. Like,
well, and you know, there's another one of these, I wish I could find it, where it's a guy and he's doing the same welcome to the apartheid, but it's all the different churches, mosques, the azan, the church bells, the Greek, or you know, so he's saying the same thing. So yeah, it really shows that people don't know what they're talking about inside Israel, you know. No. There, and I love how she points out the sign that says this is our country together. You know, I like that as well. Mm. And yeah, I think the humor is absolutely essential, you know, and, you know, it's, I mean, not to specifically say it's only Jews, but that's what we Jews do too. You know, it's part of who we are.
And we'd have more famous Muslim Arab comedians if only you'd stop killing them whenever they make good freaking jokes. Like, God. But no, I mean, this,
you know,
was brilliant.
Years ago, speaking about being able to say what you want, and we were talking about that with regard to Shoresh and with regard to Muslim comedians. Years ago, I had a Moroccan boyfriend, and he was Muslim. And he said to me one time something that I always think about. He said, in the Muslim world, the space between what you can think versus what you can say and do is extremely large. Right. And it made me think about that when Nano made that comment about living in an Arab country, that just saying that she likes Israel could get her in trouble. So she can think it all she wants, but saying it or doing it is this vast space. Yeah. And it really resonates with me because it does really represent a lot of how people are unfortunately forced to live.
Mm. So Rivka, that video that you mentioned, make sure you send that to me because we want to look at that.
I'm trying
well
to find it, but
later. But also Rivka, I want to congratulate you. I don't know if this is your first time or not, but you have now also because been accused of being a CIA agent. Guys. Is this your first time? No?
Yes. Wow.
We know that Rivka is Mossad. Come on, you guys. Why are we even questioning?
Already know that we're controlling everything. I bring everything we say back to the secret meeting, and then we decide where we want to send the weather systems to control the weather. Wow. But you know,
stop with the rain in Tennessee? It's been rough lately. I know.
I'll bring it up at the monthly meeting.
If you could. Say you have a friend down here that needs.
Yeah, you know, so when they send me my check, I'll.
So Rivka, not to brag, I have so far the Mossad. I've been Mossad. I've been CIA. I've been MI6. I've been the IRGC, you know, the Iranian intelligence agencies and everything. I have got all that covered. So this shows that you're on the right, track. This is means that
I've arrived.
You've arrived. Good job. Also, Elliot, the same guy is accusing you of doing something very disgusting. I didn't know you've done that. Like, let me just highlight that. Let's see what. So SR saying this is what you want to read this because this guy is like,
this individual is accusing me of making the statement that you should be able to make fun of 12,000 dead brown kids, which the only time I've ever made that statement in my life is right here pointing out this absolutely stupid thing this person just said. So if you have heard anything I've ever said and you come to that conclusion, you're not honestly engaging with me and you're a waste of time. Mm. Like, that is absolutely disgusting. And all you are doing, just so you understand, I'll use this in your terms. All you're doing is helping more brown kids get killed. That disgusting level of crap analysis is exactly why we have FAR-4 being shown to kids in Gaza and the Sesame Street we just watched being shown to kids in Israel. Get on the right side already. It's ridiculous. You are absolutely making all of this worse. Ugh.
Yeah, he needs to do better. Mm. You're not helping, bro.
Yeah. Terrible.
Exactly.
Terrible.
All right. Let's do another video. This one is the most interesting one. I left the best one for last. So let's switch this one. So this one, this one was sent to me by Rivka, and on the video it says, Arab Israeli member of parliament in Arabic is saying, Yalla, go out. Yalla, go out, right? So argument erupted today in the Israeli parliament between Israeli Arab MP and a Jewish MP the Jewish MP was forced out. Okay, so there was a fight in the parliament between an Arab member of parliament and a Jewish member of parliament. Again, a lot of people don't know that the parliament of Israel has Arab members of parliament. No. And they were fighting. People didn't know that. And in this fight, they forced the Jewish member of parliament. They kicked him out. Speaker of the parliament, stop behaving like this. So this is the Arab MP, Arab member of parliament, saying whether you like it or not, Palestine will be established. Guys, this is somebody, this is a member of parliament in Israel's parliament. Somebody is shouting this. We have somebody supporting Palestine in the parliament of Israel, and the guy who's opposing him in parliament of Israel is being the guy that is opposing him is being kicked out. So again, again, this is something you don't see most people being exposed to. We have an Arab member of parliament within the parliament of Israel yelling that Palestine will be established, and the Jewish member of parliament who is shouting back against them is kicked out of the parliament. Okay, let's watch this.
חבר הכנסת מלביצקי, קריאה ראשונה.
תקום מדינת
חבר הכנסת חנוך מלביצקי.
And the speaker of parliament is a member of parliament. What is this? Milwitsky?
Milwitsky.
I'm calling you, Milwitsky, I'm calling you to
order.
Okay, so this is member Milwitsky, which is the Jewish one, saying, you won't get it, forget about it. So he's saying, you won't have Palestine as a state. And this is the MP Ayman, which is the Arab one, saying, I don't know what this is. Saker Nia in Arabic, it means shut up. Okay, so he's saying shut up in Arabic. And then the Jewish guy is saying, the Arab one, I warned you, security. Oh no, this is the speaker. Parliament is asking the security to kick out the Jewish member. And then the Arab MP saying, Mr. Speaker, please allow me to continue. And the Arab MP saying, get out in Arab.
No.
Okay, here's the thing, guys. I think Israel is trying to be apartheid, but they're failing. I don't think they understand how to do apartheid.
Yeah,
like, what is this?
They're bad apartheid doers.
Yeah, well, in fairness, they've failed at genocide. They've failed at apartheid. It's honestly any wonder that, you know, people support them, because they are so clearly bad. They don't get that. I'm sure there's more to the video, Armin. I'm sure in the next part of the video, the speaker of the parliament like arrests the Arab MP, and then, you know,
doing here, we're apartheid, you can't they're gonna be like, there seems to be an oversight, we're apartheid, you shouldn't even be a member of parliament, how did this even happen.
Oh my gosh,
when I sent this video to Armin, I sent it and I said, look, you know, he gets kicked out, Arab member of Knesset. And I'm like, oh, somebody stop Israel before they democracy again. You know, like, come on. And the guy's behaving badly. So they're like, you know what? You're out. And I really love how the security guy, he doesn't just touch his shoulder to pull him out. He stuck his arm underneath him and wrapped his hand around his stomach. Like, okay, dude,
you're getting out.
I'm getting you out, you know? And I really appreciate that the Speaker of Parliament is saying, like, hey, you know, we're going to have some order here. Cool down, you know? And he doesn't. So, blah, blah, you know, he goes out. And you know, they're not apartheiding very well.
Well, yeah, Armin, do you have, you know, I just, we love to show both sides here. We really do try to be fair, despite what some of our critics may argue. Could you pull up all those videos of the the Jewish members of Hamas or
Oh yeah, I have those.
Yeah, can you just pull up those where people are openly allowed to say things like Israel should be a country in places like Gaza? Could you just get those real quick for us? Put those on screen. We're gonna show you guys here in just a second. Hang with us.
Or we can talk about Jewish people that live in Egypt. That are, maybe all seven a member of, them. Of
yeah.
member all of seven. Parliament, out of the Livka, seven.
I'm sorry, you misspoke. You must mean like 7 million or 700,000 or seven. It's seven. Oh.
Yeah, I mean.
Oops.
Yeah, and this guy is not only a member of Parliament. He's voicing his opinion. No one's stopping him. And he's saying things that probably some of the watermelon crowd, the pro-Palestinian or pro-Hamas
so-called pro-Palestinian.
Yes, I should say so-called. You're correct because they aren't really pro-Palestinian.
Because we are pro-Palestinian, okay? The people who are encouraging Palestinians to fight a hopeless war that is bringing them nothing but misery and death, that they are not pro-Palestinian. They
so yes, like allegedly. I would say they don't believe that this exists, but yet, where's the religious minority representation in lots of other Arab countries? There isn't very many.
I mean, so there is that. So, guys, we have found apartheid. Genuinely, there is apartheid.
Oh my God,
in Gaza.
Oh,
there's
snap!
There's apartheid. Oh, yeah, that is apartheid.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Now that you mention it,
and honestly, there's a level of it happening in Lebanon to Palestinians because they're staying in these refugee camps.
Yes.
They're not allowed to work in certain jobs. They can't access benefits. They can't live in certain places. They can only study in certain places. So they are being prevented by the government from fully participating in different realms of Lebanese society. So that sounds apartheid-y.
And I'm sure lots of people are talking about that, Rivka, right? Can we pull those videos up? Can we pull all those videos up of the Muslim Dawah?
Yes. Again, I'm looking at the folder and it's empty. It's empty.
Gosh, really? We're doing so bad, you guys. It's just, it's so weird. We're supporting the non-genocidal, non-apartheid group. We're not able to pull up these videos. We're really failing. And it's
no marches at Columbia or Harvard about that.
Damn. Yes.
Weird.
I wonder why not that many people are talking about the anti-Jewish apartheid in not just in Gaza, by the way, the anti-Jewish apartheid in most Islamic and Arab countries, right? So in the Middle East, hold on, let me just make this point. There has been more, they talk about displacement. They don't talk about the displacement of Jewish people in all the countries, in all the Arab countries neighboring Israel. Nobody talks about that. Why there's not that level of outrage, right? And also, this guy in the live chat keeps talking about this Shoresh guy saying 5 million Palestinians displaced by Arab countries. He forgets the second part. So the Jews that were displaced out of Arab countries were done by Arab countries, but also the Palestinians that were displaced out of Israel were also displaced because Arab countries attacked Israel. So both of those displacements were done by Arab countries. They always forget to mention you that part. But go on, Rivka.
So 850,000, maybe even more, Jews from the Middle East and North Africa displaced. And the point I wanted to make, and now I forgot it, but if I think about it again, I'll make it again.
That's okay. All right. But we got some super chats. Numco is saying, waiting for Armin's legendary 5-minute rant. Well, today my voice does not let me do that. But also that usually happens when I'm doing Dawa videos or like Western leftist, far leftist videos. And usually that happens when I'm by myself. But yeah, we will have those in future live streams. So subscribe for that. And thank you for supporting us because we need the super chats, guys. We really do need the super chats because we got demonetized for the stream. Benny saying, thank you so much. Much love and admiration for you. Well, thank you so much, Benny. Appreciate the super chat. And then we got another super chat from Sid. Sid is saying, what does Rivka think of Hindu nationalists' love for Israel? India is one of the most pro-Israel country in the world. Right-wing intersectionality. Okay, so before Rivka answers, I don't trust the far-right support because I think the far-right support is usually for other far-right within. So far-right, Israel has many good things and also, just like any other country, has its fair share of fascists and racists. And usually when a far-right group supports something about your country, it's not the best of your country that they support. But what do you think, Rivka?
Well, also, I noticed that often the far right support, especially for Israel or Jews, is conditional on certain things. Jews acting in certain ways. You know, I can't speak to the Hindu nationalist love in the same way I can to the Christian nationalists in the United States. But at least in the United States, the Christian nationalist love for Israel or the evangelical Christian love for Israel isn't so much that they care about Jews or Israel. It's because they have a condition, and that condition is all Jews need to go there and die as a conduit to the return of their boy God. And I would assume perhaps that there's some level of that in with the right-wing nationalists as well. And also, you know, there's a lot of economic things happening between the two countries. So that could also be an example of why people care. But I remembered my point, Armin, and it just made me think about it. You were talking about discrimination. Also need to mention all the countries that refuse to allow people with Israeli passports into their country.
Oh.
It used to be 16, but now since we had the Abraham Accords, I think it's down to like 13 or so. But yes, if you have an Israeli passport, you can't get into a lot of countries. And Israel no longer stamps your passport if you visit Israel, even if you don't have an Israeli passport.
Weird.
Because you have problems getting into certain countries if you had a stamp saying that you visited Israel. So they give you a little piece of paper. So yeah, that's discriminatory. And we don't hear about that at all.
So I want to answer this question, but I also want to confirm what Rivka said. When I went to Israel, when I go to every country, I get a stamp on my passport that I visited that country. But when I traveled to Israel, they didn't stamp my passport. They gave me a little tiny little piece of paper that was separate from my passport. Because they understand that stamp on my passport makes it hard for me to go into many Islamic countries. So I don't even have to be Jew or Israeli. Just the stamp of Israel on my passport makes it difficult for me to travel to these Islamic countries. Like, that is a very extreme version of apartheid that I can't even now, not even being a Jew or Israeli, just the stamp makes me not be able to go there. But I also want to answer to Sid. I just want to separate. I don't want to act like what I just said is about Indians in general. I was specifically talking about far-right Indians, okay? I'm pretty sure within India, there are many secular and liberal-minded people who support Israel for the reasons that we support Israel. Okay, so don't think I was talking about a general statement, okay? Just like in the United States, there are far-right people who, some Christian conservatives, I should say, that support Israel for the wrong reasons. There are also within India people who support Israel for the wrong reasons. But within the United States, there are many people who support Israel for the right reasons, for liberal reasons. And within India, there are a lot of liberal-minded people who support Israel for the right reasons. And also, we celebrate any two countries becoming better allies with each other, right? So India in general, India and Israel becoming closer together is a force for good for the world, just like any two countries becoming closer and closer together, is just good for global cooperation, especially if it's for the right reasons. So there's that. And to that also, Shoresh is saying,
the last three comments in the live chat are just absolutely ridiculous. Like, Armin, Rivka, I don't know about y'all, but I'm just straight rolling in the money from the oligarchs and the capital. Like, I don't even need to be working or anything, you know? Like, are you guys also saying all of this, you know, really atrocious stuff? Like, you know, let's stop the real apartheids and not just blame Jews for everything bad in the world. Are you guys rolling in the money from the oligarchs for that? Or is that just me?
Know about me. I don't even need to say anything.
I mean, it's obvious. Clearly.
I mean, we just purchased that giant fan to control the different hurricanes and things like that.
Good.
That set us back a little bit, sure. But you know,
you control all the money anyway, so what does it matter?
Exactly.
By the way, fuck liberalism. Liberalism allows you to say fuck liberalism, just so you know that.
Right? Like,
that's the reason you can type that in a fucking YouTube live chat, man. Like, it's fine. I get it. I understand. But also, like, come on. You gotta be joking.
Yeah, fuck liberalism. And allows exactly, you know.
Got
please
me. Let assimilated
us
agents.
Stop us before we enlighten again.
No, freedom of speech.
All right, guys, this was fun. So we've almost made it under 1 hour, but that was good. I think we did good. And thank you. A special thanks to Rivka for going out and finding these videos and sending it to us for us to review. That's, you know, helping out a lot. And yeah, guys, again, we got another super chat. So guys, make sure you like the stream. You like the stream before we end this video. But let me read the super chat by Sid. Sid with the $10 super chat saying, India's left never overtly engaged with Israel to get Indian Muslim votes. They kept silent on October 7th. India's right wing openly engaged with Israel as an FU to Muslims and openly support Israel. All right, so I'm not talking about whether the right-leaning people or the left. I'm talking about liberal-minded people, which there are a lot of them in India. And I know a lot of people don't notice that, but we notice them because they are our fans, okay? We notice them here on Atheist Republic. There are many Indians who are not. So when you say India's left, you're talking about a lot of people that are sympathetic to Islam. There are a lot of people in India's left that are sympathetic to woke ideology. I'm not talking about those people in India. I'm also not talking about India's right-leaning people who are not just a lot of them, not all of them, but a lot of them are not just anti-Islam, but they're also anti-Muslim. So I'm not talking about them either. But India is full of liberal-minded people who are not anti-Muslim, but they're anti-Islam, who are in support of liberal values, who are not into wokeism, like the India's left. So those are the people who are supporting Israel for the right reasons, like we are. Most of them are, at least. And I don't know why a lot of people in India don't notice them. Maybe because, you know, it's becoming so tribal. It's either right-leaning Hindu nationalist people or these wokistani left-winging people in India. But we need to start highlighting people in India who are neither one of these two people. For people who are liberal, again, I don't care if you're right or you're left. I only care if you're liberal or illiberal, right? I don't care if you're call yourself conservative or progressive or right or left. The most important thing that we need to see in people is because we on the right we have liberal-minded people and we have illiberal-minded people. On the left we have liberal-minded people and we have illiberal-minded people. And that is what we have to look at. Right or left doesn't matter. Even progressive or conservative doesn't matter because there are certain things that we need to conserve and there are certain things that we need to change and progress out of. There are certain things, and right and left is more about the level of government involvement in, you know, either our personal matters or economic matters. And again, there is no general recipe that you could come up with the level of government involvement in different things. I think for that is a case-by-case basis that needs to be analyzed. So the only, when it comes to ideologies and separating people into the people on there on the right side or the wrong side, I think this is, we need to, this channel at least is trying to make people think about liberal versus illiberal rather than right versus left or conservative versus progressive. I hope we can succeed in doing that. But yeah.
I'm sorry that I was laughing, and I'll be very quick on this, but I hope people watch, okay? Watch what Armin was saying and watch the replay of the live chat this entire time. Because imagine that after all that nuance that Armin provides, this is your response. Hey, Armin, you just call yourself a fascist already. India, don't listen to this warmonger. You're either pro-war or a stupid wokey, according to Armin. Like, just imagine that, you guys. Just imagine being in that mindset, okay? And then just take a deep breath, and then please do the things that we're asking, where, like, you know, you go actually look and research and try to educate yourself and listen to a lot of different sides, and then be honest about what's happening instead of just picking your tribe and just sticking with it blindly. So again,
also, you know, some of those statements look like they had that on the list of things to call Armin. So it doesn't matter what he said. They're like, oh, I'm on number 7, fascist.
Checking him off.
You know, yeah. You know, I mean,
so weird, you guys.
It's so also so emblematic of lack of being able to have an argument, make an argument, you know, that's not an argument.
Yeah. And
you
again,
also
just
didn't hear what was said. Mm-hmm. You were waiting to write fascist until,
right.
You know,
and again, just using your language again, that type of rhetoric that you're using means more dead brown kids. That's what happens. That's what results from that. So, you know, just again, get on board with the rest of the world that wants a better life for people and doesn't want kids being slaughtered in the masses. That'd be great. That'd be awesome if you could join us.
All right, guys, we need to go. Please make sure, I'm glad you highlighted those, Elliot, but please make sure you like the stream, and please make sure that after the stream is over, you leave a comment under the show. And also make sure you subscribe and you have hit the bell notification. Mm-hmm. And please also go tell people to come and check out this channel and subscribe to it. And yeah, thank you to Rivka and Elliot for being here, for the great commentary. Thank you, guys. You guys were amazing. And till next show, bye.
Yalla, bye.
Don't forget to like. Yalla, bye.